Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
He is currently the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines and a former player. His dad and brother are also former players and coaches, but there is more to them than just football. It's time to talk about attacking life each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast with Jim Harbaugh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. Ira Weintraub here, along with coaches Jim and Jack Harbaugh. Our director of recruiting, Matt Dudick, is here. Our producer, McKenzie, is here as well. Welcome to our signing day special. And as always, we wrap up with Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. A reminder, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen via the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com. And please follow us and contact us on Twitter at AEDPodcast or using hashtag Jack Talk.
The early signing period has come and gone, and you inked a whole bunch of players, over 20 new Wolverines in the class. Always exciting to get those new names in there, and I'm sure you're really excited about who you're bringing in.
Oh my gosh, really, really excited. The kind of people they are, the kind of players they are, families, the high school programs that they came from. I mean, everything. Just boy, first class is a thing that jumps out to me. Bunch of great guys and great families, and every guy that we've been recruiting them a long time. I mean, this is sometimes 2-3 years. Sometimes it's a full year. And every guy that committed stayed with their commitment. There was no decommitments in the class. Just pretty great. And the enthusiasm on signing day and how early they were getting their signatures in. And by the mid-afternoon, we had all of them signed up.
I could tell the excitement level on some of the guys. I haven't talked to Aaron Lewis, who we'll get into when we talk about the defense. He wanted to be on the radio at 6:05 in the morning. He wanted to be ready to go and be the first guy in to represent the class of 2020. He had a lot of energy. I know Braden McGregor, another guy on the defensive side of the ball, was
Nobody compares to Aaron Lewis's energy and enthusiasm. I mean, you could talk about anybody that's in the class, anybody that's currently in the program.
Right.
Joe Files, possibly.
Maybe
Joe Files and Aaron Lewis. Those two are really at the highest level of enthusiasm and energy, and he plays that way. When you watch Aaron Lewis play the game of football, it's all out. He's a defensive lineman. He is running and going from sideline to sideline, extremely athletic, and plays with great energy and a lot of pizzazz with the personality. There's no question about that.
A defensive lineman, 6'5", 238 pounds, out of Williamstown, New Jersey, Williamstown High School. Needless to say, New Jersey, Coach, is an area where you've had a lot of success in recruiting and, of course, have some both with players and coaches for that matter. He sounds like a Jersey guy when you talk to Aaron Lewis. He's got that Jersey, a little Jersey in him as well. And he, along that front line, the defensive line that you recruited, Aaron Lewis, Chris Jenkins, Jalen Harrell, and Braden McGregor, four terrific talents for you guys up front.
Yeah, very, very excited. Jalen Harrell is another youngster that's long and athletic and can really run and can rush the passer. Great high school there at Berkeley Prep, and he has been coached by the great Dominic Shio, and I love going down there for any visit when we're there. And Jalen's got a great family as well. I mean, really, he's got a dad who played in the NFL.
Yep.
And great young man. You know, he is extremely articulate. Every time I've been on the phone with him, he's always really engaged, and he's got big plans for himself. And he's you could also say with this entire class, I mean, I'll say this after probably guy after guy, that they're very talented, but they want it. Would
yep.
you say, Matt? I mean,
yes.
there's a real want to, we're talking to, you can just see certain guys that are already on the team that have done well, and their attitude and their approach to school and football, and they want it. They want to excel. They want to stand out. They want to go far. And they're willing to work to do it. You know, they're not afraid to have to put in the work. So they like it.
Yeah. Jalen Harrell, give a shout out also to Garrett Revis, Michigan alum, kicker,
yep.
who's a coach on that staff down there as well. For those that are listening, Jalen Harrell is a 6'4", 235-pound defensive lineman out of Tampa, Florida.
Four-year starter. Started on the varsity for 4 years.
Interesting point you make about recruiting. You're not looking at youngsters that are looking to the University of Michigan and entering school as a freshman. You're looking at those who are looking beyond those next year, sophomore, junior, and senior years. They aren't looking just to be here. They're looking forward and talking about what those future years are going to be all about and standing out and moving up and moving onward.
I think with a lot of these guys, they have majors that they already plan to major in. Zach Zinter's already, I know we're going to talk offense in a minute, he's already admitted to the School of Kinesiology. Very few undecided guys of where they want to kind of put their academics in order in this class. And the guys that are undecided, the very few that there are, it's because they have three or four things that they're really passionate about and they want to get here and try it out.
Also in the class along the defensive line, in-state defensive lineman, 6'5", 248 pounds out of Port Huron, Michigan, Braden McGregor, maybe the best player, if not the best player in the state of Michigan this year. You guys bring him in to anchor that front for you guys as well.
Yeah, and there's an example of somebody we've been recruiting since his early in his sophomore year.
Yes, early in sophomore year, yep.
Because you saw him playing at a very young age in high school and gotten to know Braden, Tara, Steve.
Steely and Jersey.
Oh, Steely and Jersey. I mean,
Basil the dog.
It's a tremendous family. Another long, athletic, strong defensive player that, Dad, you like this? Really good basketball player.
Ooh.
As well. And
plays lacrosse as well.
Huh?
Plays lacrosse as well.
That's right.
Yep.
Played lacrosse. I mean, 227 career tackles, and he is a great guy, great family, and somebody that committed to Michigan, you know, very early on, and has been somebody that's, you know, been active in recruiting the class, and just a go blue guy all the way.
Coach, can we share the home visit you had with him just a few weeks ago?
You know, when I got my hair cut?
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Tara's been asking. She's been saying, hey, I cut hair. And he got up there and got a haircut during it. You know, watched the Ravens game and got a haircut.
Yeah, she was. Braden, he gets his hair cut a lot. You notice him every time.
Yep.
It could be 2 weeks. You saw him before and he had a haircut. And then 2 weeks later, boy, you look like you got your hair cut again. Boy, you got your hair cut again. You know, I was there on Sunday. Boy, you got your hair cut again, huh? You know, he's like got the very, always got that kind of tight military type haircut. And Tara said that she cuts Braden's hair and cuts Steve's hair. And I just asked, would you mind cutting my hair? Because I haven't had one in about 9 weeks.
And she was thrilled to do it. She was a little nervous. She called me after. She's a little nervous. She goes, but man, was I thrilled to do that. I've been wanting to do that for so long.
A great point. Jackie just mentioned the day before yesterday that she thought your hair looked
as good as it has.
As well as it has ever looked. I did not hear that story. And I know I don't have much, but maybe I could stop in there for a little trim.
A little trim up.
And we got a plan. She's gonna come up every couple of weeks and cut Braden's hair. So
swing by the office.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked on this show about recruiting visits with meals. We talk a lot about food. I remember last year, especially during our Lucky Sports Parents features, a lot about meals. We did have one story last year about you on a trip going to a barbershop. So it is not the first time hair has come up about visits, but the first time that a parent has cut your hair as a part of a visit.
Yeah, that's a first because, I mean, you're usually just out there. I mean, you're out there every day in that recruiting period and getting the hair. Saved me a trip to the barbershop.
The other defensive lineman in the class is a 6'4", 245-pound defensive lineman out of Alney, Maryland, Good Counsel High School, Chris Jenkins, who is a NFL legacy. Of course, his dad played in the NFL, played then in the ACC, which is now a Big Ten school at Maryland. But four guys that really bolster that front. And what I noticed with all four guys, and I'm curious what you guys see as far as projecting, because you see the shoulders, you see the length, but we know that they're going to put more weight. So how do you determine like what that good number is, who wants, you know, certain, who is good for the certain amount of weight? Because these are four different types of or can be four different types of defensive linemen for you.
Well, I mean, like Quiddy Pay came in. He was weighing 220, 225, maybe even 230 when he first came in as a true freshman, or when we were recruiting him and signed him. I bet he was in the 220s when we signed him. And then relatively over 12 to 15 months later, he was up to 270. We're like, oh my gosh, he's 270. Now he's in the 280s, and Mother Nature's gonna take over in just about everybody who's 17 and 18 years old. especially if they're not shaving. They're not shaving every single day. If you look at a guy and, hey, how often are you shaving? Well, I haven't shaved yet. You know, then, hey, all right, we got another, probably another inch to 2 inches of height growth. And definitely if the frame's there and the length is there, they're gonna fill out really well as a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman or linebacker, et cetera, whatever position that you're talking about. But Chris also, as you mentioned, his dad was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. I played with him for
Carolina?
In Carolina, yeah. I was on the team for 9 weeks. They brought me in after two quarterbacks had gotten hurt. That was my last year playing NFL ball in 2001. And Chris's dad was huge defensive lineman, you know, really athletic and the first-round pick. And Chris looks like a chip off the old block. He really does. And that's when we were talking to him in the summer, and then he had a heck of a year.
I mean, he was one of the top players in that conference, which is a very difficult, good conference. First team all met Washington Post, which is a lot of great players on that team. I mean, week after week, we do a game tracker every Saturday morning, my staff and I, and put out to all the coaches, wins, losses, stats. I mean, he was putting up stats and game-winning, knocking down passes to win games and game-winning sacks. Aaron Lewis the same way. So every week we were seeing him getting better and better.
Those are your linemen. Four defensive linemen in the class, Braden McGregor, Jalen Harrell, Aaron Lewis, and Chris Jenkins. Playing behind those guys, you signed four guys at the linebacker position, so we'll take these guys one at a time. We'll start with Khalil Mullings, a 6'1", 226-pound linebacker out of West Roxbury, Massachusetts, an area that we've talked about that you guys mine New England really for some talent. Don Brown has a great eye for New England talent. It must come with the accent. Tell us a little bit about Khalil Mullings.
Yeah, Khalil is another youngster that seems like we've been recruiting for a long time. It's
long
been,
time.
at least 3 years. Great family. Dad Dale Mullings is kind of like the team dad at the high school, and you know, been coaching some of the kids in Pee Wee football and right through the high school already. You know, he's been kind of helping recruit in this class. He's just so into it. There's just so much. I mean, really somebody that you respect and somebody that shows great respect. There's a cool story. We were at a camp in the summer, and again, we've been recruiting Khalil for a long time and offered him and everything, and he came to the camp, and we kind of told him that, hey, it'd be great if you could participate in the camp. You know, we kind of like to see the Michigan guys and the Michigan commits and the Michigan offers also participate in the camps, you know, as opposed to just maybe stand there and do interviews and act like they're too cool for it. And so Dale, upon hearing that, the dad said, I got the cleats in the car. I'm going to go get them. And Don and I turn around and Mr. Mullings climbed a fence.
Jumping a fence.
Because that was the shortest way to get to the car, and climbed the fence and went and got the cleats. And Khalil came back and put the cleats on, and Don and I were coaching up the camp, and it was a great day, you know. But we've seen all the linebackers. We've seen all the linebackers in camp. We've seen all the linebackers in games. We've seen them on tape. We've seen them live, and every single one of the linebackers, we've seen them compete. You know, we've seen them do that, and you know, it's going to be a position of real need for depth, you know, starting this season. With Cam McGrone and, you know, Josh Rosh projected to be the starters at inside, Adam Faki and Adam Shibley and
Joey Velasquez.
So they're going to come right in and be able to compete for backup time and playing time and travel team, all of those linebacker positions that we recruited in this class.
So over the years at Michigan football, we've had guys like Glenn Steele and Jarrett Irons with these great defensive names. right up there, Osman Savage. I don't think you're going to get much of a better defensive name than that guy
right there.
A 6'1", 227-pound linebacker out of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. Of course, that's Biff Poggi's school. You guys have a few guys in the class. From what is – we've talked about this a lot recently, being a Maryland guy. They can't even get games in their state anymore for the most part. They're too good. They have to go travel elsewhere to get games against competition at their level.
Yeah. You know, Osman Savage first offered Osman when he was in between the sophomore and junior year, had watched their practice. And like Khalil Mullins, Osman started off as a running back.
Yep.
Khalil Mullins this year had a great year as a running back.
Yes, he did.
So they both the linebacker and the running back position, you're able to see the athleticism and the football instincts by those two youngsters playing both offense and defense. And Osman Savage is the same way. He played running back. He played inside backer. He's played some outside backer. You know, he's done a lot. But, another Aaron Lewis type in terms of enthusiasm, in terms of, bringing the energy, really liking football. Osman, is a great addition as well.
His teammate plays right next to him at the linebacker position, 6'1", 224 pounds, out of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, is Nakai Hill-Green, another linebacker in the class.
Yeah, Nakai Hill-Green from Pittsburgh, from Matt Dudek's
Absolutely.
Neck of the woods, and know how good the football is there. You know, we've had a lot of success with Pennsylvania players on the Michigan football team currently and through the years, and got a good heads up that he was transferring to St. Francis and we're in St. Francis a lot. You know, we're watching their practices, watching their games a lot, and Nakai Hill-Green was first time we saw him, we offered him, and we're very excited about him. Another real first class type of individual. We could say that about every single guy in this class, but serious demeanor. He's got a plan, as my dad was talking about earlier. You said that just a little bit ago, Dad, that that's what you're going to really like about Nakai Hill-Green. Mm-hmm. He's serious about being good, having an opportunity, and ready to take advantage of it, and like so many of these guys, ready to create opportunities for himself as well. Just great awareness of his opportunity.
And there's one thing about Nakai is, and by the time this airs, six of these guys that we're talking about will be participating in our bowl practices. They're coming in and going to have three practices under their belt. Other than Blake Corum, who's very, very excited, Nakai is right there with those other six guys. He cannot wait to get here. He canceled a family vacation over Christmas to be here and practice three times.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be a neat thing. So starting this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, three practices, as Matt mentioned. Blake Corum's going to be here. Nakai Hill-Green is going to practice. Andre Selden,
Kari Page,
Braden McGregor.
And Zach Zinter.
We'll be here, and Zach Zinter. So it's really neat. They all take a photo while they're here, with them when they put the Michigan uniform on like so many guys do. But now they're actually going to be putting that uniform on and
going out there.
And out there and playing and practicing. It's going to be really neat. We've never done that before, but excited to do it.
Maybe
this
you
year.
Already mentioned, how many players will be here at the turn of the semester? How many guys will be with us next semester?
There'll be eight mid-years. It'll be those six guys along with Aaron Lewis and Will Mohan.
So there'll be eight?
Yeah, there'll be eight coming in. Yep.
The last linebacker in this class is like Braden McGregor, one of the best players in the state of Michigan. He's a 6-foot, 231-pound linebacker from Ron Bellamy's program at West Bloomfield High School, Cornell Wheeler.
Yeah, Cornell, West Bloomfield. Ron Bellamy's done such a fantastic job with that program, and they're being coached well. Guys, we've seen a lot. The West Bloomfield team came to our 7-on-7 camp last year and won it and really dominated in dominating fashion. And Cornell, Wheeler, Makari Page, great competitors, and super excited about those two youngsters and really super excited about the program that they're coming from and positions of need. You talk about the safety position for Makari and the inside backer position for Cornell Wheeler. They're coming in with great opportunity, and they're motivated to come in fast and hit the ground running. They have the ability and the license to contribute early.
So Coach, let's continue looking at your class of 2020 from signing day, the early signing period, and go now to the defensive backfield where you picked up four defensive backs, two from in-state, a couple from the East Coast as well. But three of them are safeties. They've kind of been, I know when I have conversations about these guys, they all kind of – we just talk about them together, but they are uniquely different players, Jordan Morant, R.J. Moten, and Makari Page, but also Andre Seldon as well. Four terrific athletic defensive backs that you guys added for this class.
Yeah, a really tremendous group of athletes, competitors, very skilled players. Definitely Makari Page and Jordan Morant are true safeties. And then William Mohan is so good, so athletic. I mean, he's a guy that's 6'1", 189. He's really athletic enough to be a corner, a safety, also an edge rusher, like a Viper, you know, he's got that ability. So there's a lot of ways that William Mohan can contribute to the football team. He runs, he hits, he covers, long and athletic and really good in all those areas.
So you mentioned Will Mohan. He's coming in as an athlete. That's how he's listed. He's a Viper slash defensive back, 6'1", 189 pounds out of Brooklyn, New York. The other defensive backs we're talking about here, Jordan Morant, 6', 213 pounds out of Parsippany, New Jersey, Bergen Catholic, a big-time program that he came from. R.J. Moten.
Remember Palomalo?
Yeah.
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 Jordan Morant reminds me a lot of him.
Yep. He's up for the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
Palomalo is.
Yeah, and then R.J. Moten is another example of a guy, a 6', 199 pounds. He's good and athletic enough to be a corner.
Yep.
He really is. And therefore, he's going to be a very good safety. But he's a strong, powerful type of athlete as well. And you know, we've been with him in camps right here on campus and watched him play in games and practices. There's a sky's-the-limit kind of ability and talent and rock solid in every way, just like all four of those defensive backs that we just talked about. And a lot of M, a lot of M's.
A lot of M's. A lot of M's.
A lot of M's there in those names. But, we can go through each guy. But R.J. Moten could be a corner, could be a safety. It's strong enough and powerful enough to be a tremendous tackler as well. And William Mohan, same type of ability, same type of change of direction, slitheriness, but a tremendous, tremendous tackler. At times, I mean, he comes off the edge, whether it's a corner blitz or just line up on the edge of the defense and the edge of the offense, and he is on the quarterback or the running back so fast. And you know, picture a guy coming from the opposite side and they run away from him, and he's tracking the play down and eventually runs it down. And you know, Makari Page is a classic safety in all ways. Great range, great ball skills, can track the ball and can make plays on the ball. And Jordan Morant, same type of safety that Makari Page is, a true safety with great coverage ability, and also has that Troy Polamalu factor, you know, where he's got the instincts and could safety blitz, could come out, could be anywhere, could line up anywhere in the defense. Yep. And it's exciting. This is an exciting group of defensive backs, perimeter players that again, we'll have the license and ability to be competitive factors very early in their career.
And Andre Seldon.
Yep. Corner. I mean, that's a
true corner.
Yeah, he's a true corner and very, very competitive. I think that's the thing that stuck out to me every time I've watched Andre Seldon compete, whether it was at Belleville or the camps. You know, you can talk about guys showing up at camps and some that have a lot of offers, some that are committed. They have a tendency to kind of just stand there and do interviews with you, Ira, over there on the
Not
side.
With me. Maybe with Sam.
do interviews. Show up to do the interviews. Yeah, show up to do the interviews.
Yep.
And wearing flip-flops.
Yep, flip-flops and visors.
Sunglasses, visors, things like that. That is not Andre Seldon.
No.
Andre Seldon shows up at Sound Mind, Sound Body, or he shows up at the Michigan camp or any camp. He'll get in a car or a bus to go to a camp. I mean, he's looking for forward. He's looking to compete. He's looking to show what he can do. He's looking to get in press coverage in front of somebody, and he'll take his shirt off just to, you know, just to show that he's a physical type of guy, and that shows up when he tackles. I mean, this is not a corner that's just out there to cover people. He'll go tackle.
It sounds to me, as I listen to this, I'm not aware of a lot of these players, but it sounds to me if you're coming to a Michigan camp and you want to impress the coaches, bring your cleats.
Bring your cleats. Yeah. That is, and compete.
Yes.
One other trivia question here. Troy Polamalu, mm-hmm. his father-in-law, are you familiar with who his father-in-law is?
I am not.
Mike Holmes.
Mike Holmes.
Remember
Michigan
Mike Holmes?
Outside linebacker.
Played here.
Oh, wow.
And that's his father-in-law.
Played in the late 70s and maybe into 80?
I think he not 80s. He was here when I was here. The heart, the meat of the years I was here, probably 76, 77, 78 probably was his last year.
Uh-huh. Last thing on the defensive backs. So did you get it like last year?
Well, we're making some sense. So Mike Holmes moved out to California and was in Southern California. And Troy Polamalu was.
And Mike also
USC.
Had two sons that played in the NFL, you know, centers in the NFL. One of them, I think, just recently retired here maybe a year ago. So he had sons that went on and played as well, uh-huh. Mike.
So I wanted to ask you, second year in a row that you got a high five from Eric Backich when signing day happens? R.J. Moten is he's good time.
Yeah, that's right. R.J. Yeah, R.J.'s another baseball player.
Quickly we forget.
Joey last year.
Joey Velasquez.
Yeah. You've got a couple of guys that Eric's going to be like, yeah, thank you, coach.
No doubt about it. We love the multi-sport athletes, and R.J. Moten is a heck of a baseball player, and love the relationship we have with the baseball team, and bunch of great athletes out there. Joey Velasquez, inside linebacker, Forrest freshman, been jumping over there and taking some batting practices when he can. He's also been working with my son Jack on his hitting and not so much his fielding. Jack just likes to work on hitting, but
Jack thinks now he's born to be a pitcher.
So he's born. That's right. He did say that after his last practice, right?
He's first time he's ever pitched ever, but he thinks he's born to be a pitcher.
That's a heck of a defensive class. A lot of really good numbers in the defensive class. There's defensive linemen, there's linebackers, and there's secondary players. Yeah, super, super excited about each and every guy that we signed. Super excited that we know them well. We know them well from long recruitments, from camps, from watching them practice, from watching them playing games, and they come from really good programs and good competitive guys that also like to hit the books and they like to play football.
You know, an interesting thing is you talk about the defensive backs with football, the way it's evolving with these spread offenses and four wide receivers and five receivers, wide receivers out there, to have safeties that have cornerback type skills that can drop down and play man-to-man on the various wide receivers they can put out there is such an advantage in this day and age. You don't have to play a true safety, and then you get into those formations and then nickel and dime and do a lot of different formations out there.
There's no question about it that when you have the guys that can cover, the safeties that can cover, they got to be able to cover tight ends. But if they could also cover the backs, if they can cover slot-type receivers, then it's a tremendous advantage that you don't have to commit another, you have a linebacker and a safety trying to play in and out coverage, which takes them away from gap and run responsibilities.
Right. Exactly.
We'll come back talking offense here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
And now, back to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Now we're talking offense in our signing day special here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Coach, let's talk about the offensive players in your class. And I like to start when we start with offense. Most people start with quarterback. I like to start in the trenches. And on a year after you picked up six offensive linemen in your class, you bring in three really talented offensive linemen, Reese Atterbury, Zach Zinter, and Jeff Percy. Reese Atterbury is a 6'5", 284-pound offensive lineman from Aurora, Colorado. Zach Zinter is a 6'6", 323-block-out-the-sun-sized guy from North Andover, Massachusetts. And Jeff Percy, very long and tall, 6'7", 275 out of Mission Viejo, California. Three really talented offensive linemen to add to what should be a really good, deep group for you guys.
Yeah, where do you start, really? Every one of them is athletic. Every one of them is, you know, they're big. They are tremendous guys. They're all really smart, too. I always thought that the offensive linemen need to be book smart and street smart, so to speak, because they have to know their assignments. You know, otherwise, a quarterback or a running back could get killed out there on the field. These guys are really, really sharp, all really good. They're big, strong, athletic guys, and been a real pleasure watching them. Reese Atterbury, boy, the first time I ever watched him on tape, his tape also had an end zone copy. Mm-hmm. And he was playing tackle, and also had some earlier clips of him playing center, and
yep.
And it just hit me within five clips. This guy could someday be an NFL type center. I mean, used to looking at centers, the way he moves and the way he looks. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I think that even though he was playing tackle in high school, he's going to be a center. On the school visit, I asked his coach, I go, what position do you think he's going to play in college and be his best position in football? And he said, Coach, you know, you're probably going to think I'm crazy here, but I really think he's going to be a center. I go, I don't think you're crazy at all. In fact, we are seeing the same exact thing. And Reese got the ability. He could be a tackle. He could be a guard. But you know, don't be surprised if you don't see Reese Atterbury as a really good center here at the University of Michigan. And then Jeff Percy, he is that tackle that you walks through the door and you go, that's a tackle. And when you look at a lot of the NFL tackles, when they were in high school, they weren't 300 and some odd pounds. You know, they were in the 270s, 280s when they were in high school. And that's what Jeff Percy is. And he had a tremendous, tremendous senior year. He really, you know, came onto the scene.
Yep.
And I don't know what he's listed at star-wise, but
he actually went from a 3-star to a 4-star halfway through the season, jumped up a bunch of rankings. But he's a guy that when you watch all of the top tackles in quotes across the country, this is a guy that – plays.
Everybody wanted.
Everybody
after
wanted.
He committed
yes.
to Michigan and started playing in the fall, everybody was trying to get him to visit, get him. Yeah, yep. We're offering him scholarships and things like that. And I mean, a staunch guy. He was with Michigan all the way, like every other guy in the class was.
Yep.
I mean, even when they kind of blew up, as they, so to speak, in their in their senior season, it wasn't interested in going in anywhere but Michigan.
And his dad, Jeff, every time, you know, he's a long way away, he's in California, and every time you start hearing, oh, he got another offer, this, that, his dad, coach would get on the phone with his dad, Jeff, and it would be like, nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Don't even come and visit us. It's locked in. He's coming to Michigan. I mean, nobody, really good family, Jeff and Stephanie there. Just, you got to love them. Yeah, I mean, it's just really, really, really good people.
And athletic family?
Yep.
Sister's a softball pitcher, and she's going to graduate this year and go on to
med school. Yeah.
So
smart and athletic.
Yeah, it's a real shining stars in the Percy family. And then Zach Zinter is you know, going to probably you know, be one of those really big inside guys, you know. Guard could be but athletic enough to play tackle, and he's from BBN in right there in Boston, right next to Harvard and MIT. The school is on this circle of you know, all these tremendous institutions, and he drives about an hour and a half to school every single day. I mean, this is a very, very mature guy, a guy who really has a plan for himself and his future. And you know, he's been a Go Blue guy probably since this time last year when he committed.
He committed pretty early. And, again, another guy that was locked in. So I do coach his schedule when he goes out on the road in December and January. And I started with the McGregors. That's where we started off at the very first visit. And I knew as we went through it, I wanted to end them off on a crescendo. And the Zinters was your very last home visit before we came in for the December period. You know, talk about that home visit, Coach. I think that was a good one.
Yes, Don and I went there, and it was a great way to finish the recruiting home visits off at had a really nice meal for us, and I just really cool. They got a nice man cave in the basement with your favorite game, Dad, the shuffleboard.
Oh, shuffleboard?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I was a little rusty, but got into it with you sprinkle the salt over it or the...
Now, did you slide it along the edge?
I tried at the beginning. I tried to slide it along the edge because I've seen you
do it that way. I don't do it well. Bill Harbaugh now.
The pros, the way they could do it,
curve it
from left, and use the edge to guide it. I tried that, and a couple went into the gutter. So I came back to just kind of throwing it down the middle. But the thing I did do was start to get some spin on it, and I felt like with the spin, I had a little more control on it because those, what do you call them, the pucks?
Pucks. Are they
pucks?
Yep, pucks.
They have some spin capability. So I don't, yeah. It was good enough to beat Zach Zinter.
I was going
to
say,
on his home table.
You had to get that in, didn't you?
I was just about to say it. According to Tiffany's social media, Coach won that shuffleboard game. So that was great. It was Paul's birthday as well on that day.
Yeah, Paul's birthday.
Why does that not surprise me that you sneaked that in at the end of this comment, discussion?
Plus, there was it's a really cool thing. Tiffany, I can't say what it was because it was it's a pretty cool thing they had in their home. Kind of a family thing, and I took a picture of it and asked Tiffany to help me get the information because I want to get my family that present for Christmas. Mm. You and Mom are part of that, so I can't say what it is, but I did pick up my Christmas present idea from the Zinters.
Wow, I can't wait.
Those are the offensive line members of your class of 2020. Now let's go to the rest of the offense, and we'll start here at the quarterback position with Dan Villari. He is the last guy to commit and send his letter on signing day, a late addition to the class. Quarterback was really unique for you guys in this cycle.
Yeah, there's some uniqueness there. J.D. Johnson was committed since signing day.
Yeah, last
2018,
yep.
He committed to Michigan, and then has a heart issue that is not going to allow him to play football going forward. But he is going to come to the University of Michigan, and I have no doubt that he'll take advantage of every opportunity that he has as a Michigan man, and will be very proud to have JD. And you know, when it became apparent that JD wasn't going to be able to play football going forward, we began looking for another quarterback to be in the class. Dan Villari really stood out. At that time, you may recall, there was some national news that their coach had been suspended for 1 week because there's a rule that you can't score 40-some points or 45 points. It's somewhere in that area.
With your starters in the game.
You can't. Well, I don't think you can even – I don't think you can – you're allowed to score more than 45 points against another team. So I don't know everything, but, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing. And as you're watching these games, you know, Dan Villari is doing everything offensively, running, throwing. That's where he came onto our radar as somebody that was a hidden secret out there, you know, kind of a hidden gem, so to speak, and kept watching him, won all his games, continued on the rest of the season, won their championship, and then he visited the very last weekend, an official visited to Michigan the last weekend of recruiting, and yeah, we're really happy to have Dan. As I said, probably close to 6'4", maybe 6'4" and some change.
Yep.
You know, really sturdy, 215 to 220 pound guy. Yep. Big hand, throws the ball extremely well, and is a very, very strong runner. And excited to have him as part of the class. And the feeling that we have is that we uncovered a hidden gem, and glad we got him.
You mentioned he's a multi-sport guy.
Pretty darn good lacrosse player. And I think he also played some basketball, too. He had an injury after one of his football season. I think after the junior season, yep. had an injury and wasn't able to play basketball
yep.
That particular year. But, yeah, he's super athletic. I mean, you can go on the clips and the highlights or even just the games and see the athletic instincts and see the way he's playing. Plays with a really good rhythm in the passing game and as I said, a very strong runner. Had he gotten more notoriety, had there, you know, had been playing at a IMG or a Modern Day or yep. something like that, I have full confidence and belief that he would have been the national guy. He's earned it. He deserves it. I think he is worthy of playing at a program like Michigan.
Did he make the campus circuit in the summertime, or was he involved in some other?
Looked
things?
Like he just went to one camp, one like national camp, and those camps are usually pretty massive. And you know, depending on what the weather is or what you run or whatever, you kind of get lost in the shuffle of those. But he did go to one national camp.
Well, kind of a story. Maybe a little bit of a story here is when we were looking at all the different quarterbacks we thought we could have a chance to recruit, that some that weren't committed elsewhere. You know, Dan was right there and moving higher and higher every time he played a game, and we watched him. And I had a conversation with George Whitfield, the Elite 11, you know, quarterback guru, who's a very good friend of mine. And we'd already talked to Dan at that point, and just talking through some different quarterbacks that were around the country. And without me bringing it up, he suggested, "Do you know about Dan Villar? I think he's really the hidden gem in this class." And I go, "Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I'll look into that." You know, my thinking at the time was just kind of be low key, even with my friend George, because
as you were with your father,
yeah,
kind of low key.
Well, you know, people talk
out
there.
Not your father.
No, I guess if I was to say to you, don't say anything. But I mean, there's talk. Sometimes there's talk out there, and
walls have ears and trees
walls
have ears.
The walls and trees have ears. So it was. That's kind of the rest of the story on that one, as Paul Harvey would say.
I mean, as Coach said, I mean, we were gathering information, we were hearing rumblings of other schools kind of sniffing around, so to speak, too. So we were really tracking this one close and trying to pay attention of who's offering, who's visiting, who's coming by the school.
Well, there's no question about it that in the world of college football, even like if you offer somebody, we're seeing this more and more. I mean, 10 other schools offered that week.
Yep.
So that was one we played a little closer to the vest and came out on top.
It's like last night we were at the basketball game watching Addy play, and I told Jim, "What are we going to do? I'm Patty. What are we going to do with the quarterback? We got one." You do?
Oh, you asked me that at the basketball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were watching Addy's basketball game and
yeah, he tweeted right during the game, I'm pretty sure. So that's just showed you your
phone. But he was just calm as could be. Well, we got one. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Tell me about him.
I told you to go look at the film. I gave you his name, and you didn't go look at the you haven't looked at the tape yet.
I'm going to, though.
Okay.
So we go from Massapequa, New York, which is where Dan Villari is a quarterback, down back to Baltimore. We've talked about this school a few different times, St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, and that's where you got your running back in the class. He's a 5'8", 190-pound running back. Blake Corum is a very uniquely special talent at the running back position based on what we've seen from him on tape.
Yeah, there's a big-time back. Blake is national type of recruit, national type of talent, and the thing that just really why we zeroed in on Blake, and it was kind of Blake or bust, was there's no finer work ethic in a young high school football player than we saw in Blake Corum, whether it's a camp or it's daily training. Sometimes, 5 a.m, you watch him work out with his teammates. You watch him practice with his teammates. I mean, he's got that Ronnie Bell quality of when you watch him at practice. I mean, it's like watching other guys in a game. I mean, that's how much they're into practice, and when they're training, it's with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, as Jack Harbaugh would say. More stories of driving daily an hour and a half to get waking up at 4 a.m, parents driving him to school, and then to where he, like Zach Zinter, his last 2 years was driving from Northern Virginia there to Baltimore to go to school and at St. Francis Academy. And so much respect for the St. Francis program and how good the coaching is there and how tough the guys are and how good at football they are. And Blake's kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to guys that want to train and want to be good and have a real plan for themselves and just want it, combined with being really talented. This is a fast type of home run hitting running back who's trained himself and is sturdy and can run all the assortment of runs inside the tackles or outside in the perimeters, can catch Jay Harbaugh. This is somebody that he's been so excited about, and every interaction with you that you have with him, just can't wait to get him on the field this Saturday. Blake Corum will be on the field and be here at the University of Michigan practicing.
You have one tight end in the class, Matthew Hibner. A kid out of Virginia. And Matt, you and I were talking about this. We've talked about kids that maybe don't do a lot of camps or go for a lot of attention, and it can impact where you might be ranked in those services. But then when talent, I mean, you guys just go find talent. Here's a kid that eventually finally rose up the rankings when he got into a senior year. But he's a really uniquely talented tight end.
He really is, and Matt can talk about this too. But really came on our radar early last spring, late last winter.
Yep.
When you're looking at some of his junior, numbers, where he's a tall guy, 6'5", 6'6", but was very, very thin in the 210-ish range. And then all of a sudden in the winter, he's starting to show up at camps, and he's in the 240s, 245. And then so we quickly got him, invited him here to campus, and he came with his great family and walk through the door, and this guy's going to be a 250, 255 type of guy to go along with the athleticism that you saw him play as a 200.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he, like 200?
He was
190?
He was in the hundreds. He was in the hundreds. He gained 40 pounds in 2 inches in 3 or 4 months. He finished his season in November, and then we caught him March, April. We kind of saw a little bit, or heard a little bit, and then we went and seen him really early in the spring evaluation period, Coach Partridge and Coach Moore did. And, I mean, dunking basketballs, gained 40 pounds in 4 months, 1,300-plus ACT or SAT. I mean, this is a guy that when he walked in the door, Coach, I knew Coach got a big smile on his face. I can remember taking the family into his office, and he was really
a legitimate
excited.
13 and some change SAT.
I refuse to speak in regards to said legitimate SAT score.
Well, that sounds like we're talking about his legitimate SAT.
No, Matt Hibner's.
Matt Hibner
no, and
has a
Matt
legitimate.
Judick's. Both Matt's SAT scores are legitimate. I will say it again. Thank you.
Was there a question?
Was there a question about your legitimacy?
No, I seem like you're defensive here.
Very defensive.
It may have come up a few times.
You should have just said, thank you would have been fine. I mean, you had to be defensive.
It may have come up a few times on this podcast and outside of this podcast and said staff rooms and things. But I just – Matt Hibner's SAT score is very legit, and so is Matt Dudick's.
And he, of course, is a legit prospect, a really good prospect, tight end position. And then you guys have three other wide receivers / playmaker, whatever you want to call them. You have Iman Dennis, who is listed as an athlete, 5'9", 171 pounds, out of Worcester, Massachusetts. And then the two burners at wide receiver, A.J. Henning from Frankfort, Illinois, 5'10", 183 pounds, the number one player in the state of Illinois. And Roman Wilson, the number one player out of Hawaii, 6', 175 pounds. And I know A.J. and Roman are ready to get here to race. We're trying to figure out who the fastest guy is. But this a lot of speed when we're talking about these guys.
No question about it. Iman Dennis, really just look at Mike Sanristil, and this is what you're going to be getting is a player and a competitor like Mike Sammer still. First time I ever watched Iman Dennis on tape, it was like watching Mike Sammer still again. And he is a good enough to be a receiver. He's good enough to be a corner. He could be either of those two positions. Last time I talked to Iman, he was leaning toward corner, being a defensive back. But it'd be like watching Mike Sanders still out there playing defensive back, and we all know how good Mikey Sanders still is. Roman Wilson and AJ Henning, they are they're really really good, really good at football, and they're great guys. You know, you can watch. Watch the tape for yourself, and I think Josh Gattis and the system. You know, long talk about speed and space. I mean, these are two legit football players, and not just fast, but these guys make plays in football games. Some of the catches that Roman Wilson makes, and you know, also blocks. I mean, does whatever he can to help his football team win, and I think they've won all their games.
Yes,
I don't know
state champs.
But if they ever lost a game,
I don't know that Roman's lost a game.
You know why?
What high school?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yep.
St. Louis. Yeah. So A.J. Henning, a tremendous receiver. His high school, who is state champs, Lincoln Way East, used him as a running back. They used him to run fly sweeps. Any way they could possibly get the ball to him. I think there were games where he was getting the ball 30-plus times,
he was anytime they could, he could touch the ball, he would touch the ball. I mean, that's
Wildcat quarterback,
yes.
And Gatorade Player of the Year. You know, legit speed and football playmaking ability with all three of those youngsters. So an interesting story about A.J. Henning and his recruitment. A.J. visited here first July 2018, and the reason I know that is I had a text from neighbor Bob Spear, in San Diego, Coronado, in Coronado, California, was our neighbor out there, who texted me. His good friend, Hud Venerable, was a longtime high school coach in Illinois, and I got to know Hud real well when I was out there being friends with Bob and playing for the Chargers and things like that. And Bob had texted me and said, you know, that Hud Venerable was the coach for Rob Svarna, who is A.J. Henning's coach. So Coach Hud Venerable coached Coach Z, A.J.'s coach. Anyway, he texted me and said, there's a really good player. He's just finished his sophomore season before his junior season and everything. And A.J. Henning plays for Coach Z. You know, you really need to take a look at him. And I said, Bob, he's here. He's here this weekend. And, in fact, I sent him a picture and with me and A.J. So kind of small world category there, isn't it, Dad? I mean, crickets. I got crickets out of you.
No. It's a small world. It's a very small world.
But I'm just flashing Bob, neighbor Bob.
Yeah.
When you lived next door to him, when you were playing with the Chargers.
Yeah.
And he was an anesthesiologist, right?
Children's anesthesiologist,
and you were
former basketball player,
and a great guy on stuff. I mean,
rules and strategies,
the way to use up the clock and in the game, and
he became the anesthesiologist.
You got him a job
for the Chargers. Yeah, I got
for 20 years.
He volunteered. He was on the sideline for every game, and he would do IVs
for at least
guys,
20 years
before the game and at halftime.
Remember, we took Jay and Jimmy a little bit, and we in his front yard there, we played wiffle ball.
Oh, we had some great wiffle ball games there.
Over the roof of his house was a home run. Into the side of the house, doubles and triples, right next door to you.
Oh, there's no question about it.
I got the story, but when you mentioned Bob, you know, I was flashing off. You probably had that. I had a glazed
neighbor Bob.
You always
called him neighbor Bob.
Because you guys used to sit on the fence with your arms on the fence, talking back and forth like that TV show.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, another story: when my daughter Grace was born, she had to get a surgery, and Bob Spear was the anesthesiologist on that surgery.
And the one thing with AJ, so everyone saw Brady McGregor's commitment video because his mom filmed it, our reaction to that one. One that no one saw was AJ's commitment. He was here in the summer in June, was on an official visit in that June period of time. All weekend, we're hearing, we're thinking, we're feeling, we're like, oh, I think it's coming. And then he has his exit meeting with coach, and he gets in the car service because they drove back and forth from Chicago instead of flying. And so we put him in the car service to go home. And we all kind of look at each other and go, wow, that's not great. That's like, what happened there? And like, boy, it was almost uncomfortable as the meeting was ending. And AJ gets in the car, and he's in the car about 5 minutes, calls Coach Gaddis and says, I forgot my coat. I'm coming back. And we're all looking around going, he forgot his coat. It's June. What is happening? What, like? And literally, I'm running around the office looking for AJ's coat. And then he comes back into the meeting him in the lobby. And he's like, I don't know what I was doing. I needed to go talk to Coach Harbaugh. I'm committing. I'm like, so we're jumping around in the lobby. We prayed him back up into the office. Put him back in the coach's office. Mikey Sanders still dropped out of the ceiling. No one knows how Mikey got there, but Mikey was there at the end there, and it was just a really fun commitment.
And no jacket.
No jacket. No, never found said jacket because there was no jacket.
Coming up next, Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Hey guys, have you checked out the official Lakers podcast yet? It's better than ever this season. Join host Mike Trudell and co-host Aaron Larsell every Monday night as they discuss the Lakers news of the day, break down the games from the week, and have exclusive interviews from players, coaches, and staff. This week, the Lakers take on the Clippers in a Christmas Day showdown. Be sure to tune into the official Lakers podcast to get all the game highlights.
This is Jack Talk.
I want to listen. I want to be better. I want to be the best I can be.
Welcome to our team. The team.
Jack Talk.
As you get older, you get to be 78 years old. Here's what I find. Hair grows in places that it hadn't been before.
Welcome to hashtag Jack Talk.
It's now time for everybody's favorite segment of the week, Jack Talk, here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Jack, what do you have for us this week?
I've been doing some thinking on this at the close of the season and thinking about greatness, and I believe there are two halves to reach the top of your profession. Or the first one, of course, is talent. We make no mistake about that. But there are a lot of talented individuals out there that never reach greatness. Probably more than you'd like to think that there are. So people like Picasso, Leonardo da Vinci, Mozart, Tom Brady, Dwayne Wade, Michael Jordan, Willie Mays, all had great talent, but they had something else. They were never satisfied. They could never, ever be satisfied. They were always looking for the next level of greatness. And when they reached that level, then they were looking for the next level. They attained and possess an insatiable diet for attaining greater success. Now, how many times they get knocked down, they found the courage to rise before the count of 10 and get in the fight, recover, and find greatness. They own outcomes. Dwayne Wade was a guy at Marquette University when Tom Crean was coaching there that just epitomizes what I'm talking about, and I saw it in real life. Dwayne Wade came to Marquette not as a highly recruited player. He was mid-level where his scholarships were offered to him, and Tom had watched him in a summer camp and decided that he could see the greatness that he had him and brought him in. His first year, he played a little bit, not a lot. And Tom kept talking about, wait to this guy, wait till you see the finished product of this guy. And then the next year he played it a lot. And then his third year, his last year at Marquette, he took him to the Final Four. Literally on his shoulders, took him to the Final Four. He rose from a guy that could not get a scholarship at a high-level Division I program to a guy that led his team to the Final Four, then on to drafted. I think it was a fifth pick in the draft, and then on to greatness in the NBA. And a player coach, you know, coming together. And a story about him, when they won his first championship, NBA championship, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was still in the locker room ready to go out, and he sent Tom a text and thanked him for the opportunity that Tom gave him to come to Marquette and the things that followed in his career after that, to show you the humility of this guy and the greatness that he achieves. Putting in time for these guys is not enough. They pursue working to be better tomorrow than they are today. And the reason I bring this up is we were coming back on a plane from Baltimore here a while back, and a gentleman just came up and he just introduced himself, and he talked about he had a seventh grader, and seventh grader was interested in athletics and thought he might want to achieve some success in athletics, and ask what advice we would give his son in order to be able to do that. And that's the one that I went to. Better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than you are today. And never be satisfied. Never wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm pleased, I'm satisfied, this is exactly where I want to be. I have no greater ambition. I have no more goals that I wish to achieve. And pretty much your career is exactly where it will reach its height. It will get no higher if you ever get to that level where you're satisfied.
You can contact us on Twitter at AED Podcast or by using hashtag Jack Talk. Follow us, favorite us, and subscribe to us on PodcastOne.com and the Podcast One app. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We want to thank Podcast One, and we want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. Have a great week, everybody, and keep attacking each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.